Good morning, everyone. We have started recording our meeting. This is Barbara Torres facilitating this morning's special board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. Today is Friday, March 20th. It is now 7:05. Thank you all for joining. Our board chair is not on the line yet. So, Ms. Gonzalez, do you mind calling the meeting to order?
I would like to call our special board meeting to order at 7:05 on March the 20th, 2020.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I will go ahead and take attendance for Mr. Kaliak. Mr. Orizal?
Yeah.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Rabbi Chaim.
Hi, Rabbi Belia. Thank you for joining. We're taking roll. You are here. Dr. Dickbush? Dr. Yapanel? Gonzalez? Gonzalez?
Here.
And so we will go ahead and move on to approval of the agenda. One of our board members can move to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll make the move.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov, and I'll take Ms. Covarrubias as second. I'll take votes for the agenda. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved. We did not have any public comments. Anyone sign up? But since we are doing this remote, are there any public comments from anyone who called in? Okay, thank you. We have one action item this morning, item 2A, concerning measures to address the organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus. We have our CEO. Oh, I see Dr. Dickbush just joined us.
Yes, hello. Good morning, guys.
Thank you. We're starting our action item. Thank you for joining. So again, this is concerning measures to address organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus, and our CEO and superintendent, Mr. Rubalcaba, will present this item.
Good morning, board members and staff and community members. Alfredo Rubalcaba, superintendent, Magnolia Public Schools. First, I just want to ensure, that all of our families and our board members and the whole Magnolia community is obviously safe at this moment, given the order that was put in place in LA in the state. So hopefully everyone is fine. I know these are uncertain times, difficult times, but again, we will get this, we will get through this together. So with that, what I want to do for today is kind of walk back to a Friday and step by step just explain some of the actions that have happened that have obviously impacted our schools through, executive orders or other measures, imposed upon by county health officials and other entities. So with that is last week, you as a board did pass this specific resolution, obviously with the modification of giving me the powers to close the school up to 5 days. So with that, as soon as we finished the meeting, the district as well did have a, LAUSD did have a closed meeting, and they about 10 a.m. decided to announce to everyone, their constituents in the community, that they were going to close for 2 weeks, which was March 16th through the 27th. Other districts, corresponding districts to our schools, also closed. Santa Ana Unified School District closed for 4 weeks, and San Diego District closed for 3 weeks because they have a spring break from March 30th through April 3rd. So with that, when we spoke, we also obviously were getting more and more information, and this was on Friday. And we obviously already knew that we were going to move forward with a closure, and we did so by informing our authorizers and any other relevant agencies that we were going to close from March 16th through the 27th. Obviously to protect the health and well-being of our community. So with that, we started the process, obviously, of, you know, closing down our schools, and most importantly, with a process which we had started before, was to create packets and obviously distribute as many devices, Chromebooks, to our students as possible during this three-day stretch before they left our campuses. So we started that process of distributing packets, Chromebooks. We started the process of understanding which one of our students needed connectivity to the internet, the Wi-Fi. We started to understand, obviously, from an employee perspective, what we needed to do. So we did, again, you know, send an email to all employees, letting them know that they would, starting March 16th, they would be working remotely during this closure. And the only employees that would be required to report on site would be those deemed as essential employees, those that carry out the day-to-day of our school operations. But when March 16th started, everyone, including the home office, was still working remotely. And up to this point, everyone has remained in their homes working remotely. The only employees that have not are those that have been involved in our grab and go meal distribution program, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. So that was pretty much Friday's actions, and then some of the actions that have happened since then. But for the most part, when it comes to employees, those employees have remained at the home, except those that have obviously participated in meal distribution. So on that Friday, March 13th, also what happened is Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2620, obviously regarding the closures of ELAs in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And the order provides that if schools close temporarily because of COVID-19, ELAs will continue to receive state funding for those days so that they can continue, and these are very important points here, continue delivering high quality educational opportunities to students to the extent feasible through, among other options, distance learning and or independent study. Number two, provide school meals in non-congregate settings through the summer food service program and seamless summer option, consistent with the requirements of the California Department of Education and U.S. Department of Agriculture. Next, arrange for, to the extent practicable, supervision of students during ordinary school hours. And then lastly, continue to pay employees, which we did. And we notified employees that during this two-week closure that they would get paid due to this specific order that obviously held us harmless from losing any funding. On Monday, there was also emergency legislation passed by the California legislature, and it was unprecedented, obviously, given the circumstance. And what was passed is $1 billion in emergency spending to combat the coronavirus, and the legislature themselves took a recess. So specifically for us, this legislation, SB 117, similar to the executive order taken by the governor, stated that it would hold financially harmless school districts, charter schools, after-school programs, which we have all of our schools participate, and childcare programs during the crisis. And it basically also further stated that it would prevent losses of funding based on ADA, reduced instructional times, change testing windows, add flexibility to referral timelines and special education programs, and offers extra funding for cleaning. So that cleaning money would be about $100 million for all the LEAs across California, which ends up being about $250 per school to buy protective equipment or other type of disinfective equipment for the schools. Obviously, the bill's passed with overwhelming majorities and bipartisan support. So that happened on the 16th. So consistent with the executive order, this emergency legislation passed. And then on March 17th, which kind of threw everyone surprised people, but not so much us, because on Saturday, March 14th, the CDC did come out with their guidance on school closures, and they laid out a 7-page document that said that, schools should close if these things are existent. And they basically recommended that schools under this situation would probably have to do what they call a long-term closure. A short term would be 2 weeks, which what we did, March 16th to the 27th. Midterm would be for 4 weeks, and then long term would be 8 weeks and beyond. So when the governor spoke on the 17th on Tuesday, he basically said that, he talked about his experience with his daughter, and that for him, he believed that we wouldn't be having any school until summer. So that obviously did shake up the education world, because that was the first time someone like himself had said something, although the CDC had said. So what we tried to do is try to understand what that meant. And also that same day, the CDE, in partnership with Health and Human Services Agency and the California Department of Labor, also came out with some guidance for schools, which supplemented or added to the guidance that had provided March 7th. So that guidance, the superintendent of public instruction, Tony Thurman, along with the CDE staff, was going to walk us through that on the next day, which is the 18th. So obviously what we did, knowing that this would happen, is that we obviously all registered to listen to the superintendent, Tony Thurman, not only kind of explain what the governor said, but also give us some guidance on the new guidance specific to our schools. So we knew that we had to obviously speak to our staff about, what long-term planning looks like for distance learning. And obviously we had already discussed some elements of it, but now we know that this was going to be a reality. So we obviously had all the school sites speak with their teachers on the 18th to have back-to-back meetings to start discussing some of the things that we were all collectively going to work on to obviously service our families, service our communities, and most importantly, keep us in a kind of balanced state where we're able to take care of our families and our kids, and at the same time work together to develop the plan for our, students. So with that, that started the process of how do we develop a long-term, plan focused on distance learning. And what's important here is that, the piece about accessibility is super important for us. And one of the provisions in the resolution that was passed March 13th was ensuring that I have, you as a board grant me the power to obviously waive some of the requirements and policy to get things done. And in this instance is providing every one of our students with a Chromebook and providing every one of our students with connectivity to the internet and Wi-Fi. So that process has obviously amplified from last week, because for us now, we obviously have to ensure that this happens. And we have to ensure that, again, all of our kids are being fed. And that process did start this week. And currently we have what we call grab-and-go centers. So for the Valley schools, MSA 1, 2, 5, and 7, our families are able to do the grab-and-go breakfast, lunch, snack combination there in the Valley. And then for MSA 4 and 6, we've partnered with the church, obviously, that we occupy, a First Lutheran Church and a nonprofit, to deliver those meals in a grab-and-go fashion to the communities of MSA 6 and 4, Venice and Palms, respectively. So then at MSA 3 and MSA 8, working with LAUSD to distribute these meals in their grab-and-go centers. MSA 3, fortunately, those are being distributed at Curtis Middle School, where obviously we have our campus. And then at Bell, we are obviously distributing those meals at Bell High School, which is less than half a mile away from our campus. And then Santa Ana, also we started that process. Initially, we started that process by having our families go to the grab-and-go centers at Santa Ana Unified, but now we have our own vendor, Better For You Meals, serving meals there. And also, we're in partnership with the local food bank, a nonprofit there, that's going to also be providing these meals on the weekends for a month. And then San Diego has this meal distribution in partnership with San Diego Unified School District. You know, those are happening right now. So our families are going to those different grab-and-go centers. So again, what was important is meals being distributed as the executive order called for, and then planning for long-term planning for our students. And then obviously the other matters, making sure everyone's paid for through our communication with the CDE, obviously to get that funding, which is covered through the executive order and SB 117, the emergency legislation. So with that, we have made a determination with distance learning that we are going to pilot it on March 30th. And when I say pilot, obviously this is the first time that not only Magnolia, but many school districts are doing this. So during this week of March 30th to April 4th, in 9 of our schools, excluding San Diego, because they'll be on spring break, we'll be able to roll out our plan, knowing that we will understand, obviously, what our rollout looks like, but where there the gaps, so then we could provide those and cover those gaps, whether it be students not having connection or a Chromebook, or through, you know, do we have to deliver packets to these students? And but again, we're the last couple of days we've been pushing really hard to get this information. That way, when we start March 30th, we're able to obviously ensure everyone has that. So I'm going to turn it over to Erdinch Ajar, a chief academic officer, to talk a little bit about our distance learning planning for long-term closure. And also, I think one of the things that I forgot to mention, that we made it a point that our communication with our stakeholders, our students, our parents, our staff, was going to be vitally important during this time. So Ismael will talk about that, how that looks like and what we've done. And then obviously Dr. Lopez to talk about the student services side and some of the tools, obviously, and resources that we'll be offering our families as we go through this school closure, long-term closure. But I'll turn it over to Erdinch to talk about the distance learning program.
Good morning, board members. With the hospital door closure last Thursday, we had a meeting with our Dean of Academies, and then we came up with a short-term planning and long-term planning, and then we discussed possibilities of both scenarios, and And then actually at that point we decided to plan for long-term closure, how that will look like and what we can do in terms of school communities. So during that time we also decided to have minimum day last Friday to give teachers planning time and then discuss these options. So we were sort of ready ahead of the game during that time, and we continued our conversations when we closed the school in short term for 2 weeks. Starting last Monday, we decided that we need to come up with concrete plans if we go full distance learning. So even before the governor explained for options for distance learning, we had already started our distance learning plans. Since then we have been working on these plans, how that will look like for our schools. And by distance learning, we not only mean the virtual ways, the digital way of learning, we also mean, we also understand that not many of our kids will have access to internet and technology. We are planning also from that perspective, first, how we can get the technology to them. Second, if in case they need to go non-digital, what we can do for them. So our plans, when we started, the governor and the state superintendent, as Alfredo said, explained the state plans. We compared our plans with the state and then fill in the gaps and follow the recommendations. So currently we have our org-wide plans, and then we communicated that with the school teams as well, how this will look like in terms of students, daily schedules, the parent roles, how the parents will help, the teacher expectations, what we're expecting from the teachers, and also the admin expectations, what the new roles and responses of the school teams will be. So the plans include all these protocols, guidelines in terms of curricula, instruction, best practices, as of Wednesday, Thursday, the school teams have been working on their local individualized plans based on our generic plans. And today, school teams will be meeting to finalizing and then giving more details to their plans. So we get ready starting next week on the operational aspects of those plans. We already scheduled March 27th as a org-wide virtual learning professional development day. And we designed a survey for all our teachers, getting their training needs on the curriculum, on the pedagogy, on instruction aspects of distance learning. So we'll be conducting a virtual professional development day on the 27th. So we get our teams ready in terms of, having Google classrooms, holding virtual learning sessions, how to better support their students and families, with the distance learning. So these are our plans moving forward.
Thank you, Ardinch. So with that, I want to walk you through some further actions that have happened. But I think what's most important is once we knew that long-term closure was a possibility and it was confirmed, listening to the governor and then the state superintendent of public instruction in the CD couldn't really back up his statement. They just said that he was speaking more as a father as opposed to a governor. And obviously for anyone that's listening, we know that those two things cannot be separated. So obviously we know that we will possibly go till the summer, but what's important is the communication with everyone. So at our schools, although everyone's working remotely, we did have our IT manager, Rasul, working with all the schools and the home office, obviously, to provide access points to our families. And anyone who calls the main line does have access points to the office staff and the administrators. So because we know that these are uncertain times and our families obviously have to listen to us and we have to talk through how this is going to look, not only for next week, but also possibly for the remainder of the year. So that was super important to us to be able to communicate to families regularly and have them call our lines. And Ismael will kind of go through that communication. So then developing plans, having trainings, rolling that out requires multiple steps. And those things, obviously, we're navigating and working day and night to try to prepare our schools to do that. So just wanted to just add further, again, just talk about things that have happened. So then yesterday, obviously, all of you, just like us, we were glued to our televisions or our smartphones. The day started with Governor Newsom.
Hi, can we make sure everyone's on mute, please?
So yesterday, obviously, the day started with Governor Newsom asking the federal government for aid, a little over $1 billion. And specific to schools, what was asked is for more money through Title II, the Investment Technology Grant, for schools to have, given the situation. He also asked for Title I schools to receive more money during this time. He also asked for all schools to have more money or funding for broadband access. He also asked for more money to be given to schools to provide training, online training or online learning or distance learning, virtual learning training for staff. And then he asked also for more money for the federal government, obviously for us to shore up our facilities when it came to cleaning equipment, so on and so forth. So that was just from obviously the school side, and obviously we'll be monitoring that because if in fact some of those things go through, you know, that will help us in the future. But I think what's also important here for the board to know is that he also, with that, said that although the state of California had developed a rainy day fund for these type of recessions, he never expected, obviously, this to come our way. So he was asking the federal government also to supplement their rainy day fund because of COVID-19 for the development of the budget. So obviously we'll be closely monitoring what that looks like because in his January proposal, obviously schools were going to get additional monies for 2021. But now with this global pandemic, we know that money specific to next year and how that looks, it's still a little bit uncertain from many fronts. So that happened in the morning, and then obviously Mayor Garcetti, along with two other mayors, Long Beach and Pasadena, obviously, you know, pushed forward and declared the home order for obviously everyone to stay at home. And those, you know, people that didn't stay at home, that obviously they would be going out to the food centers or to get medication, so on and so forth. And then after that, at 6:30 p.m., the governor had the same order for the state of California. And I think what's important there is for the board to understand that we, as you know, educators, we are considered essential in the sense that we deliver essential services. So these two orders don't necessarily change our directive or our work. And that again is specific to during this time, even though these two orders were imposed, our job is still to provide meals and deliver meals to students through our grab and go centers and other fashions. Obviously, that's still evolving in terms of how you could distribute meals, but right now what we're doing is what's practicable. And then the other thing is also any function associated with keeping the continuity of learning moving forward. So for that, that's obviously our distance learning. That's obviously providing connectivity to our students, Chromebooks. So we know that obviously these things are important as public servants. We have to be able to do that even though these orders are in place. And the good thing is that we're given this authority to do so. But with us, again, what's important for the board to know is all employees are working remotely. Essential employees, which would be classified as the principal, assistant principal, dean, office manager, custodial, and other support staff, if needed, obviously would go to the school. And so far, again, only staff have been going to school to obviously distribute or supervise the distribution of meals, and also allowing some staff members to come onto the campus to retrieve, get their stuff, computers, curriculum, other things, and then take home. So those type of things have been happening at our LAUSD co-located sites and also at our private sites. But again, all employees are working remotely. So with that, the resolution today obviously gives me the authority, if granted by the board, to extend the closure for 45 days. But the way I want to do this is, obviously things are changing day by day. So for today, although this grants me 45 days, obviously this would be for the second week of the school closure, which would be starting Monday, which would be the 23rd through the 27th. So we've already announced to our families, you as a board are giving me the authority to make it official for the second week of closure. And also I think it's important for me to obviously update you every week or even more so. But what we'll do is, because obviously there's a lot going on, we will say that on next Friday, which would be the 27th, we would have a similar meeting. So then obviously we could give you an update, and then more importantly, tell you what March 30th and on looks like. Because again, those type of things, we've been told that ADA would be covered under these circumstances, and we're learning that every day. So I want to make sure that you as a board are informed of that. So this resolution gives me 45 days. Obviously, I would just extend, in this case, the closure next week would be from the 23rd through the 27th, and then I would come back to the board on the 27th. And then also, as part of the resolution, it talks about, the last of the 19 provisions talks about informing the chair and informing the board if I need to make any purchases and what those purchases are. So right now, the biggest priority is making sure that all of our students have Chromebooks and all of our students are connected to the internet and Wi-Fi. So that's going to be the largest expense, and that is still being, obviously, that information is still being acquired by the schools. So for instance, we do have one school that has identified that they need a little over 120 Chromebooks, which is an expense of $28K. So with that, obviously, normal bidding process and seeking the board's approval, that would require, obviously, us to come to you and have that approved. But under these circumstances and also the authority you gave me, that would obviously give me the authority to push, go for it. Let's go ahead and purchase these 120 Chromebooks for this school so they could provide to their families in order for us to provide distance learning, right? So these things are gonna happen within the next 3 days. By Monday, Tuesday, other schools will say, we need this, we need these Chromebooks, and we need this, and we need that when it comes to devices. And then our IT manager, Russell, working with the other IT managers and the school site principals, is also determining what connectivity looks like. So that's gonna be an added expense, and I'll make sure that I bring that forward to you. So I'll just turn it over to the board. Just wanted to give you as much information as possible. So I'll turn it over to the board to address any of your questions specific to what we spoke about or specific just to COVID-19. And again, how it's impacting the disease, how it's impacting our families, how it's impacting our schools, and how it's impacting the healthcare system. So I wanted to answer your questions at this moment. So I'll turn it over to the board for questions.
Thank you, Alfredo, and the rest of the staff. This is Rabbi Chaim Beliak, and I want to just turn to the board members. Are there questions? I want to just remark about the great attention and leadership that is being shown by our staff in this time of crisis. And are there board members that have questions? One of the things that I would appreciate, this is Rabbi Chaim again, I think that if it's possible just to ask Barbara to, if there are things that come up between now and next Friday, which is the time when we're expecting to have a meeting, that there just be a simple email just to be in touch. I don't know that we need to have extra meetings, but I can foresee the fact that you may want to inform us on a short-term basis, a shorter timeline. Are there any questions for the board?
No, yeah, that's a great request. We'll definitely do that. I think every day we're learning. I think all of us are monitoring every, you know, local public health department, whether it be the California Department of Public Health or the LA County Department of Public Health or Orange County Health Agency or San Diego County Department or Human Services Department. So we're monitoring that. We're monitoring authorizers. We're monitoring the CDE. So we definitely could provide a memo to you. Barbara will be sending that out. And I also obviously will be reaching out to you, Rabbi, as the chair, to inform you of some of these things, especially specific to any purchases, anything like that, which also will make sure we reflect it on the memo. So we could definitely do that. And thank you for the request and recommendation.
I think one thing I want to chip in also along the same lines, like I understand there are different configurations of Chromebooks, some come with LTE. I don't know all the details, but if you guys can keep us in the loop by emails, etc., that way we are aware. And if we have some recommendation, we can make sure accordingly. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Dikbash. We will definitely do that, keep you abreast of how that looks in terms of inventory, in terms of anything that we're doing collectively as an organization specific to devices. Devices obviously given to our communities.
Lisa Sardar, first of all, thank you so much for your hard work. We're going through tough times, so your leadership and hard work is greatly appreciated. And I have not necessarily a question related to the items you were talking about. I was wondering about the reporting requirements to the authorizing agencies and other compliance matters. Are they still remain in place? And if so, Are we being able to comply with those?
Great question. Yeah. So yeah. Along with these executive orders, so I'll just discuss from a kind of 3,000 foot lens, and I'll turn it over to David and his team, accountability, and then talk about some of the other authorizer. So from a 3,000 foot lens, obviously the governor, along with actions that he took on March 17th, he also decided that he would submit a waiver for SBAC testing for this year. And that waiver is sitting at the desk of the U.S. Department of Education and the federal government, and most likely that will be approved. So there will be no SBAC testing. In terms of, other things that impact our schools, obviously, when it comes to ADA, David Yilmaz is following up on that. His initial research from that said that the process would be even more seamless than before in terms of submitting the J13A form. He said, since obviously the executive order came down, that we would just obviously get certification from me, submit to the state superintendent of public instruction. And then from authorizer perspective on your day-to-day reports, that we submit, whether they be monthly financial reports or other things of that matter, that is still happening. We're still working with the authorizer to submit those monthly reports and things like that. And let's take, for example, LACO just on Wednesday did obviously, advise their staff to work from home, but they're still working. We're still receiving correspondence from them in terms of the financial piece. I'll turn it over to David or Lydiette to talk about some of the items relative to compliance with CalPADS or, the LCAP or the budget. Well, the budget, again, that's still a little, I think, far ahead, and we haven't received any guidance there. But again, things are changing day to day. So I'll turn it over to Lydiette.
Hi, good morning. We got some notifications from the CDE that the CalPADS faulty reporting was going to have the original deadline canceled, which is today. And they've moved that back to the month of April. However, we have had almost half of our schools submit that report already. We've heard from LAUSD as of yesterday that the P2 attendance report is also going to have a later date, and it's only going to include attendance through the end of February. So we have received that guidance. We're pending an update from LACO. So as soon as we have that, we will share it out with our team. So far, it looks like we do have more time to submit any pending reports, and we've received some guidance on upcoming reports.
David Yilmaz, are you on the line? All right. So I think the LCAP is obviously something that David has already reached out to all of our authorizers, asking them. So for instance, typically the process requires us to do a annual school update in the month of April and submit to our authorizers and then have the board approve it. So that process again has been delayed. So nothing has been communicated yet as to how that looks, the LCAP. The budget, I do believe that we will still need to meet those requirements. But again, all that is still a little bit, not clear because we haven't received that type of guidance. I think what it looks like is we've been receiving, okay, here are the things that are due. And then, this is what we're going to do, whether to extend the deadline or not extend it. so that, does that answer your question, Sardar? Or did you have anything else specific to compliance or reporting or authorizer communication?
No, I think you answered my questions, and I just wanted to raise the awareness from the board side that we still have the responsibility to fulfill those reporting needs and make sure that we're not forgetting about those for the staff as well. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for the question. Other questions?
This is Sandra. I have a question for academically. How is this going to impact the children? Are they going to be still graded on their work that they're doing online? How is that going to work?
Great question, Sandra. I'll turn it over to Ardenz to address it.
This is Anisha. So for the 2 weeks of time, that was a short-term closure. We were under the direction of no instruction and no grading. So this period of starting next week, we're still under the same game plan that no grading on the short-term plans. But when we roll out our distance learning programs for the long term, and again, we don't know when the schools are going to be open. We will start grading practices, but that's not going to look like the old grading practices. No clear guidance on this, but we're assuming, and then we're planning for pass-fail type of grading system. Certainly our students will be earning credits, so that's not going to impact our graduating seniors or our high school kids earning credits. So all of our kids will earn credits. Our teachers will evaluate the assignments, classroom activities, provide meaningful feedback to inform high quality instructional activities, engage with the students in that process of teaching, reteaching, making sure students are still accountable and they producing results based on the outcomes that we plan with our distance learning programs and activities. So that's going to be the game plan. There will be certainly grading, but not the same as we had in brick and mortar classrooms.
This is Diane. Would this be the same way that they grade the homeschool students, because they have an actual way that they grade and they give credit to those students for graduation purposes that have to be homeschooled? Would we be following the same guidelines that they have?
So currently from the state, we don't have specific guidelines. The problem stems from the fact that we're forcing everybody to do distance learning rather than them voluntarily signing up for distance learning. And considering that we have students with special needs, language learners, and all those different types of learners, and right now equity and access is the problem in terms of, if we go fully digital, not everybody will have the same access and will be able to provide all the accommodations or modifications, and then how the grading will be equal and fair for all. That type of considerations we are we haven't heard from the state or counties, so they didn't provide any guidelines. But again, we don't want to impact our kids negatively for the time being with these extenuating circumstances. So therefore, we'll be flexible on the grading, but we want to have accountability to the extent possible, have kids perform their best, and then use the grading practices to inform and facilitate the learning.
but certainly that will be grading, not the same as the past. We'll be looking into home schooling grading guidance as well, but that wasn't specific direction from the agencies.
So real quickly, I know a couple of board members have to drop off at 7:59. So I'm just going to respectfully ask if there's any questions, just let me know and I'll direct them to that. But I think we do have maybe time for one more question, and then I could follow up with my staff with any other question. I didn't have Brenda or Ismail give their updates on the communication, so I'll make sure that that's included in the memo that Barbara sends out as well.
So if we can provide resources for the parents as well too on how to help our children academically as well, that would be also nice, so that for those kids that are having trouble, that would help the parents out.
Sandra, definitely, we will definitely do that. Erdinch, go ahead.
Yeah, going along with our distance learning plans, we do also have guidelines for parents how to help their kids. We created schedules for the students and parents, and then tips and guidelines and resources. So certainly we'll be doing that.
Thank you.
So I would like to thank the staff again. I'd like to thank the board members, and just to offer a word of prayer on behalf of all of our families, people we serve, and people who are facing this emergency, that they are safe, that we have health, and that we have the grace to help one another and be mindful of God's presence in all that we do. I'd like to adjourn.
Well, Dr. Baliak, the resolution has to pass.
Right, okay, let's take a vote, sorry.
Barbara? Oh,
sorry, the motion that is in place is to approve resolution 2020-03-2001, which concerns measures to address the organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus, to take effect March 23rd, 2020. Additionally, to approve setting up a special meeting for Friday, March 27th, 2020 for updates regarding this matter.
Second.
And to obviously the board giving me the authority to close our schools down from March 20th to March 27th. The second week of the closure.
Right. So the resolution takes effect on the 23rd for the 45 days.
Well, for the next week, 23rd to the 27th, and I'm going to come back to the board to let them know whether we need to close up to 45 days. Yes, but I do have that ability, but I'm taking it week by week.
Okay. Rabbi Baliak, are you making that motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
I second it, Mrs. Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Orizov. I'll take votes. Rabbi Baliak?
Yes.
Mr. Orizov?
Yes.
Rubias?
Yes.
Dutikbash?
Yes.
Lawless?
Yes.
The motion carries. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Rabbi Belia, can you adjourn at 7:59?
Yes, I need to jump off to a hospice meeting. There's issues that we have to deal with there as well. I wish everyone be safe, and thank you all.
Thank you. Just
thank you,
an official
everyone.
Adjourn.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, adjourning 7:59, thank you.